All right, we are hitting episode 54 in our study in Morning Minutes of 1 Corinthians. Listen up, applying biblical wisdom for everyday life. And today we are going to talk about order in the church. And this has really been sort of this entire book, really, conduct in the church, Christian conduct in the church. Brothers and sisters who are trying to figure out how to live in the church when sin abounds in the culture, and many of them had come out of a lifestyle of sin and trying to understand how to be godly. And so Paul is writing this letter in order to admonish them to get serious about certain areas in their life. And so we had talked about the Lord's Supper and now orderly worship in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians verses 26 through 40. He writes, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For we can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of prophets that are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came, or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all things should be done decently and in order." Now, remember Paul had written in chapter 11 that every wife who prays or prophesies should do it with her head uncovered, and on and on. So Paul is not against women speaking in the church. He was a ministry partner with Priscilla and Aquila. The context here is this disorderly atmosphere where specifically the women who often would sit in clusters and talk in the middle of the service and was very disruptive. And so there's a contextual portion to this that I believe when you first read the verse, you might be offended by it, that the woman ought to be silent in the church, but he's talking about it in context of this disorderly conduct. So let's sort of back up a minute and think about some of the principles that he is teaching here, that the Spirit of God is teaching through Paul. Number one, it is easy for things to get chaotic in the church. If you've been to churches, many of our churches are very now organized and have a system, and you can almost predict minute by minute how things are going to happen. But if you've been to maybe more vocal services, it can get quite chaotic, specifically in services where maybe a lot of the controversial gifts are practiced, the healings, the miracles, the prophecies, and the tongues. And so God here tells us that, man, it's important to remain in order. And so much of what Jesus did was very orderly. If you look at his life, every miracle, I remember the reading about the miracles of feeding of the 5,000, and he sat people in rows of 50. And there's a general order of things that God prefers. And here he tells us that all things should be done decently and in order. Too many people with too many gifts in a church can get out of control. We ought to take turns in speaking and listen to one another. God's way is always orderly. And so let's keep that in mind. Number two, it's easy for things to get chaotic in the church if practicing the gifts becomes more important than loving others. Now, that's even more substantial, because if you become so self-centered on highlighting your gift or insisting on practicing your gift in the way that you want, then love takes a back seat and it becomes a fight over who's going to say what when. And there are times when it's better to stay silent than to speak up. And in the section we read, where if somebody's speaking, let it be one or two or three at the most. And if there's no one to interpret, let us keep silent, and on and on. He gives a pattern, and it is a pattern undergirded by love. There are times when plurality of opinion is better than independence of opinion in interpreting the tongues. And you see that where two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. And so there's a point, there are places where getting wisdom is a multitude of voices, and ultimately God's voice rules. But that demands love, so that there is no argument and fights in the midst of this this type of thing. And so it's easy for things to get chaotic. It's easy for them to get chaotic if the gifts are practiced without love. And thirdly, it is easy for things to get chaotic in the church if we stop seeking God's heart in it. And so people commonly will take a sentence like the woman should keep silent in the churches and crucify everything related to Jesus and Christianity on that one sentence, taking no account of the context, not studying, not spending the time to understand why that would be written there. And again, certainly not. God has many examples of women in the Bible that spoke, and the context again is not that women should not speak. What about women who are not married? What are they supposed to do? They don't have a husband at home. So you can sort of build this ridiculous philosophy and belief if you take things out of context. And the key in interpreting the scripture is to interpret it in the context of scripture, but also don't stop seeking God's heart. God has certain commandments when it comes to his church, and all of these commandments are written for a reason. He has an order when it comes to his church. Again, not because he's capricious or angry or judgmental, but because of love. And his priority is for souls to be saved and for his people to worship him, because that is the place where we find our greatest joy. So do you go to a church that is practicing the gifts in an orderly fashion? Do you go to a church that honors both men and women as made in the image of God and tries to strive to understand how God's word is to be interpreted? And while you might err on one side of the equation or the other as to the role of women in the church, I think all would agree that men and women are equal in the sight of God. And so let us stop today and let us declare together that it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and pray that God would continue to open our eyes, enlighten us, to give us wisdom as we seek to become more Christ-like. I will see you guys again tomorrow. Love you guys.